Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Did you know the top 10 mobile games in the U.S. grossed more than $340 million in June? Do you want your game to earn more? AppFigures is all about giving game makers the tools they need to get more downloads and revenue. You may already know them for analytics and app store optimization. Now, AppFigures can help you keep track of competitors and the game market, from how many downloads they're getting and how much money they're making to their audience demographics and even which tools they use to power their games. Their competitor intelligence gives you great context. Got a great idea for an app or a game? With app figures, you can figure out how big the market is and how much money you could be making with it. Say a competitor adds a new feature or was mentioned in the news. With app figures, you can see if that brought in more downloads. And that's just scratching the surface. Whether you're growing your game or building a new one, app figures has what you need to reduce risk and get more downloads. Best of all, you don't need a large budget or data science degree to do this kind of thing anymore. App figures has made it affordable and simple. On top of tools, app figures also provides a lot of guides and tutorials to take you step by step through gaining more visibility with ASO and increasing your revenue by learning from your competitors. They just released a free guide on that, actually. Head to appfigures.com/on/gamedevunchained to try AppFigures for free. Again, that's AppFigures, appfigures.com/on/gamedevunchained to try it for free. If you like it, use our special code GDU3030 to get 30% off for the next 3 months. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and you smell it correctly. It is Ray Graham with another Roundtable News episode. What's up, Ray? How you doing?
What's happening, Brandon? I'm doing all right. I'm here.
It's been a while, man. A lot of things have happened. You know, every time we talk, there seems to be always a new variant, and we seem to dodge it just fine. Actually, my oldest kid is going through COVID right now. He had it last Thursday.
Yeah. At this point, if any kid is going to school, yeah, so they're probably going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kicking it pretty well. I mean, it seems, I think he got it from my youngest. They seem to have the same similar symptoms, a 24-hour fever. The young one kicks it, like, goes through his system pretty fast. He only goes through the fever thing. And The older one has a little bit of tiredness, some airheadedness, what do they call that? Brain fog?
Brain fog. Yeah.
But he, you know, takes about a day or two. So it is one of those things. It seems to be like, it goes through every group of friends that we have as of late, right? True.
Yeah.
You seem to have dodged it completely, right? You haven't even had it once.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is I haven't had any symptoms and I've never tested positive, right? But yeah, I've been keeping a relatively low profile. I've done some traveling and gone to some places, right? But but I've definitely kept it pretty low. Haven't been out in like large crowds. So yeah, it's I've been lucky so far that way.
You're actually becoming that small percentage that I know that hasn't had. Like I went through it once. I guess sort of twice, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I get an itchy throat. I'm like, I think I have it, but I don't really.
I don't know. Yeah. Like I tell everybody, like in February 2020, I had a real bad fever before like everything locked down. I had a bad fever for like 2 days. Right. But it could have just been the flu. It could have just been a fever. Like, you know, but it kind of suspiciously happened around the same time that COVID was running rampant. Right.
Yeah. Same with us. February, I had our whole family kind of had like this bad fever that kind of went through everybody. But having gone through it once, COVID is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like
That's what people say. If you had it, you would know. And so like I think I just had a fever at that point.
Yeah, you do go through a check. It's different from a fever because, you know, none of the symptoms really blend so much for me. That it was like 24 hours of fever, 24 hours tiredness. It was just going down the check boxes.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sick of talking about COVID. I'm kind of in the attitude of like, who cares at this point? It's like, come at me, bro. Right. So I think that's generally like kind of everybody just kind of noticing how the crowds are infinitely large everywhere we go now. And anyone that says it, it's not kind of like close the door, quarantine, hide forever attitude. It's like, oh, yeah, of course. Right. You know, for people who just lived their life and traveled and vacationed as normal during those 2 years, you know, they feel just fine, you know, hearing all these things. But for the people who kind of hid in their houses like I did, I'm kind of a little upset, man. I'm like, this is it.
Well, you have to understand.
Too, that's all we had.
You know, you have to understand that before the vaccines, it was really bad. And then there's been some variants that have made it not as deadly as it once was, right? Or you don't get as sick, right? So the vaccines plus the variants, it's you're getting normal type of sickness, right? If you weren't vaccinated, if you didn't have the variants, right? Like it might be a totally different story. So I would not say, oh man, I shouldn't have been out doing shots at the club during a pandemic, right? Like I think you chances were high that you might have been more damaged than you are now, right? So I just think you have to take all those things into account, right?
All right, well, I mean, Roundtable News episodes usually like kind of like a debate show, so I'll take the opposite stance. It's like whatever logic makes you feel better, Ray.
I'm just saying
it wasn't that bad at the beginning. It wasn't that bad now.
There's hundreds of thousands of people that would disagree if they could, but they are dead.
Man, why are you making it so dark? Well, that kind of segues into what this is about. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get going. So this is the Roundtable News episode. This is when we, ideally, once a month, sit around the campfire, talk about game development news that relates to game developers such as yourself and I and the listeners out there. We're taking straight out of the headlines and somewhat can be controversial, all right? Before we get started, hey, our opinions are of our own, not of what companies we work for. Try not to get us fired or try your best. Whatever, dude. We don't care. We're remote, bitch.
Only Brandon.
Okay. I'll speak on behalf of us. Just me. But let's go into this, man. These companies that we're talking about today seem to always come back. And I am, if not already, been repeating this over and over where whatever companies, whatever happened during the pandemic that were flourishing, right, that were really benefiting from the pandemic, are the first to kind of crash and burn. Not completely, but like they are at the first downhill, you know, tumble. Now that things are slowly getting back in the office, people are, you know, hanging out outside of their homes, going and doing fun things again. Like a lot of financial reports are not kind of bleeding over to the New Year's and stuff. So without further ado, let's talk about Activision Blizzard, right? So Activision Blizzard, it's been a long time coming, but because of the pandemic, Warzone and a lot of their other games at Blizzard were really benefiting from a lot of people at home, right? One of the reasons why Diablo Immortal, that's the mobile version of Diablo, was even created in the first place, right? I mean, it was a long time coming, but like during the pandy, it was a very convenient release. And at first, a lot of people were opposed to it, at least the hardcore. But, you know, eventually people embraced it. And numbers are not as expected, right? We saw this with WoW. Overwatch took a little longer than people wanted, right? They didn't really capitalize on their popularity. They kind of let other genres, other games kind of take its attention, right? Valorant seems to come up a lot now. A lot of other similar games that had different kind of characters thrown in Team Fortress style, mixed together, kind of took over that genre. So generally, what are your feelings about this, right? So I'll give a little close up of this article so people can read it a bit more.
I think it's part of things opening back up. So probably people are not playing as many video games as they would before. Also think there's a lot of people becoming tired of the games Activision is putting out. You know, you see there like the MAUs drop for King and for Activision Blizzard, but it didn't for Blizzard because of Diablo Immortal, right? Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not a big fan of Diablo Immortal, I have it, I played it, and I was like, yeah, okay. And then I kind of put it down after.
What's your biggest complaint? Because you're a big Diablo guy, right?
No, but it was clear, you know, as soon as you start using three different types of currency and to unlock and level up stuff, it was clear that curve was like becomes crazy. Yeah. And it's all about the microtransactions, right? And the grinding. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to play that. And I was shocked. It's actually on PC too. You play it on PC, but it's very much like
for mobile.
It's very much a mobile game. Yeah. So I'm seeing some, you know, people are playing it, I guess, and they're getting some positive momentum from that. But everything else, man, like, yeah, it's like it's just maybe people are just tired of the same old games that are coming out and just want something different.
Well, the same old games and wanting something different is not exactly Activision and Blizzard's will, you know, in the warehouse. They kind of recycle until it's beaten to death, right? That's kind of like their thing. I mean, the smart thing, that obviously, the one thing that you can never take away from Activision Blizzard is that they're very calculated in their risk, right? They have charts and analytics years before anybody catches up. The fact that this title that we're reading says that the monthly users are, you know, there's less people playing their games pretty much, but they still beat sales expectation because of these microtransaction, because of these mobile version. I was just reading, you know, Call of Duty Warzone is coming out with a mobile version soon with their 2.0. Blizzard, Activision in particular, they're skipping Call of Duty for the first time in like a decade, right? So there's one coming out this year with Modern Warfare, and the one after that is next year will be skipped, maybe some more DLC or whatever, and then Treyarch takes 2024, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they are definitely Very smart with knowing that they don't need to rely on a yearly, on an annual Call of Duty anymore. They probably sense there is a lot of fatigue with their IPs, which is the most dangerous thing a big publisher ever wants to hear, right? And in the midst of all this, they sold to Microsoft, or Microsoft is slowly acquiring them, you know, through
that hasn't gone through proceedings.
It hasn't gone through. No, not yet. I think they're still finalizing it because of monopolies. I don't know. But, you know, it's they sold at the best time ever. I mean, we have friends there, right? I'm sure you hear all the time that every time we go on LinkedIn, at least for me, right, I'm like seeing someone who's been there for 20 years leave. I've been seeing that a lot at Blizzard, like almost on a weekly basis, which I did not see for years, right? So there's got to be some crazy attrition that's going on over there. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I didn't really think this whole lawsuit shakedown would matter so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it definitely matters for when you're trying to hire people, right? So there's they definitely, you know, I know some folks that went there, and they definitely, when they went there, they were asking all the questions about the lawsuits and the things like that, right? So it definitely impacts people's decision to even apply and go to a place. I just think, like, seeing the attrition of, like, longstanding vets, I'm sure some of it is that, but the other parts of that is, like, as the company just gets bigger and bigger, more corporate, it might have changed from what it once was. And the people that have been there for a while, they're just like, yeah, now it's time for me to do something else, because this is not what it used to be, you know? Because, like, you know, things just are going to naturally change as these companies get bigger and more money and different divisions and things like that. And so people are just going to be like, ah, no, I'm good. I don't need to deal with this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's surprising in a lot of the ways. I mean, like, they're obviously making money. There's a major deal with Microsoft. Like, if Activision Blizzard wasn't secure before, or you didn't feel secure as a game developer working there, you should be feeling more safe and empowered to speak up on creative ideas, at least, right? It feels like the perfect time to kind of stay when times are uncertain. But uncertain as in, you know, another range of topics that we keep talking about is all these huge tech layoffs that are happening across the board. Remote, in office. I think the majority feels kind of still uncertain. I think there's a niche. Tell me how you feel about this, right? I feel like the companies that are very sure of themselves are allowing remote to happen. They're continuing, they're supporting it. But like a large wash are trying to like cheat around what the word remote really means. I'm sure you hear some stories that people would get into their second interview and would find the details out, saying that, oh, remote as in you got to still be around the office remote, not as across the country. Like, I'm hearing a lot of that lately too.
I haven't heard any of that. Actually, okay. I haven't really talked to much people about.
There you go. Because you're in your Unity bubble.
it's not just that, but a lot of the folks I know have jobs not currently looking, right? And so, so I haven't really heard any job hunt stories and things like that. I do see a lot of roles advertised as remote, or if they're not remote, then they say they're not. And if they're hybrid, they say they're hybrid. You know what I mean? So, so I'm not really seeing much in terms of bait and switching or anything like that going on. I feel right now, because of, you know, the stock market, because of high inflation, because of interest rates going up, all these things that are happening, a lot of these companies are starting to tighten the belt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And started to be like, all right, maybe we shouldn't grow so fast. Maybe we need to really focus on getting that revenue, right? So I'm seeing more unease around just straight up making money, right? And not necessarily around stopping for people from working remote or anything like that. It's all about, can we get revenue? Can we be cash flow positive? I'm seeing more of that than anything.
Well, what a perfect way to segue into our next topic. Talking about tightening the belt, none other than the CEO of Meta, formerly known as Facebook. So they had just their quarterly reports recently. And I guess the thing that's being memed a lot or going viral is the part where Zuckerberg was obviously being flustered, knowing, you know, being pretty open with how there's a change in the air. There's a lot of uncertainty, inflation's going up, all that stuff that you were talking about, that there's a lot of things that have to figure out in Meta because they're taking a huge risk. Turning from a social media company to a AR VR company, right? Or metaverse
company. Yeah.
And with that, you know, stockholders and investors for Meta are feeling uneasy with the directions that's been taken, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about every quarter losing $3 billion in that particular sector. They're still making money. But they are their main source of making money is under a huge threat, right? With TikTok kind of taking a huge piece of their pie. No one talks about Facebook. People on Instagram are getting annoyed because they're trying to make it look like TikTok. And then TikTok is like what everybody's talking about. So then you look at the VREA group and in the meeting, someone, even though it was a recorded message, asked if Meta Days, which was created during the pandemic, was still in effect this year, which is their way to fight depression last year, to kind of give extra days off to the workers. Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just looked annoyed, saying like, hey, I just talked about how bad things are, right? So no, this is not in effect anymore. And he straight up just didn't even sugarcoat it. He's like, hey, there's some people that work at this company that shouldn't even be here. Straight up just saying cuts, yeah. Right? Before last quarter, they say, hey, as far as we know, we're not making any cuts. So this is important in many ways, right? Years ago, a lot of people come to me for advice because I'm awesome. And they're like, Brandon, help me out. Right. And I'm telling them this particular friend, right? And plenty of other friends, like, hey, if you're working in the Bay Area as a game developer, you need to go to Facebook or one of these tech companies, right? And write out your career. Because that was what Facebook offered, right? It's just high salary, stock options, and just freedom, right? To do whatever you want. Easy stuff. And 2 years later, I just as rich as it today. Someone working there is looking to leave because they don't feel safe, right? And did you foresee this happening so quickly? I mean, a few roundtables ago, we were making fun of Facebook but
I was about to say, I think Mark saw your roundtable roundtables ago where you were just
dissing on him hard,
just dissing Meta hard.
What did I say?
You were saying stuff like nobody's really doing work there. People are just chilling, right? And it turns out Zuckerberg is like, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's people here that are not fully pulling their weight, and now we have to, because times are hard. Apple's app tracking thing really took a chunk out of their advertising revenue as well. And also, also companies are reducing ad spend too because of the hard time. Yeah. So they're trying to spend less money on ads and things like that. And Apple's app tracking stuff, it all took a chunk out of Meta's numbers, you know. And before when the numbers were nice, spend $3 billion, hire a ton of people. Do we need more people? Need more people? Hire, right? And the standard is kind of, you know, not everybody is going to be super brilliant person pulling their weight. If you need to hire like 5,000, you know, you're hiring thousands of people when the times are good, right? So now the times are bad, you need to save some money, and you're like, you want to operate. What did they say? Operate with intensity, right? So now you're looking, yeah, you're looking, you gotta trim the fat, you do evaluations, you're gonna trim the fat and try to scale back from this huge expansion that happened when the money was cheap, when the valuations were high. You know, that's not the world now, you know.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
It's important. We're not just looking at Meta and making fun of VR, AR, right? I look at these as leaders of our industry, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of where we go is where they lead. And it was true during the pandemic. Meta was doing really well, or they were spending like crazy, like there was no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then Activision Blizzard was hot with Warzone. Like pretty much, if you look at all the companies that were benefiting and hiring like mad during the pandemic, they're the first ones now that are doing massive layoffs because there's no reason to keep them, or they don't have any work to kind of support the need of more people. And the risks that they took during the pandemic is not paying off. So in this case with Meta, Meta like even had like bad news on the day of, like the bad day of, there was like the FTC blocked a buy from a company within, which is a VR company.
They're a fitness company.
Yeah. and this is kind of like the FTC catching up to not stepping in when Facebook was buying Instagram and pretty much everything WhatsApp, right? Blocking any types of competition a few years back. Like they're finally catching up and preventing Meta doing whatever it wants, or at least holding tech companies accountable now for monopolies, right? Mm-hmm. Which couldn't have come at a worse time. Like Meta's getting hit from all angles here, right? And prophetically, these are your words, not mine. one way or another, I kind of predicted this. You know, you were, they're blocking thousands of hires, right? But you know, from what we've seen, what they've produced, at least publicly, it doesn't require that $3 billion every 3 months to make, right? We're talking about subpar indie title graphics and gameplay here.
Well, here's
for
the
what
thing,
they're
too,
showing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, every dollar that's spent isn't what's going on the screen, right?
Yeah,
isn't going into an app in those, that you've seen, right? It's going into research.
The cafeteria, right? Yeah.
It's going into research, trying to figure out. Of course, it goes into employee. Like the number one cost is employees, right? And so then, if you say the whole company's moving this direction, and we literally do not know how to do this, right? That's going to take money, and that's going to take time, right? And then there's two ways you could go about it, right? You can like just pour bodies at it, right? Just go, yeah, more bodies will get us to the solution faster. Or you can go with like a little bit trimmed down team that focus on something, get it done, understand what they're doing before going wide and hiring thousands of people, right? There's different ways of going about this. And it's my opinion that maybe doing that first, like doing like some little small prototypes and not just burning billions of dollars a quarter,
yeah,
is the way to go about doing something that you have no idea if it's going to work or not, right? And so that's probably where most of the money is in things that are, like, you don't even know are happening there, right? And then they are asking themselves that those same questions that how can I make this look better? Does it need to look better? What's the other applications? Like, how is this going to be useful for people? Right. That takes a lot of time to figure out correctly.
You know? I'm watching the body language of Zuckerberg, right? I watched that little clip. Well,
he's stressed, man. He should
be. Well, yeah. I mean, does that look like a man who saw something in the research lab like 10 minutes earlier and is like is happy about it? No, that's a man that's like who probably did see something in the research lab and is like, no, we're fucked, dude. We're gonna have to cut some people, quote unquote. There's some people here that shouldn't be here. Like, he's talking about some specific people.
Yeah, like I said, it's not like when they first went the Meta route, he already said he's like 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's the timeline he was talking about when talking about Meta, right? What's got him stressed right now is like just the stock sell-off and the growth stocks and
competition
and the ad revenue and competition and all this stuff is taking chunks out of revenue. Youngsters don't even mess with Facebook anymore. Right. That's the other part of it too, is like he's trying to, you know, pivot to the metaverse. The next new thing where he thinks young people are going to be in the future, right? Because they are not on Facebook today, right? And yeah. So, you know, that's what stressed them out. And I think that's stressing out a lot of companies, right? You're saying huge layoffs in tech. Like, the layoffs haven't been, there's been a lot of them, but it hasn't been a huge number of people yet, at least I would say that, right?
Compared to at least 2 years of nothing, you know, those 2 years.
Those 2 years are just high on the hog growth like crazy. Right. And I think across tech, like at least in the last, you know, the last couple of quarters, it's been like, what, 100,000, 200,000 people laid off, I think. Something like that. I saw some number like that on some webpage.
I think if anything, it's a start.
Like, yeah. I think
we're going to hear more and more because what I was saying during the pandemic, like it was scary to me. Because I felt like we agreed that it was coming. You know, there's no such thing as delayed games, postponement. A lot of these AAA companies,
but
not being able to be productive.
I'm not hearing it from video game companies, honestly. I'm hearing it more from the tech companies.
Tech goes first, and then companies after.
Maybe, but also in the hard times, little games have always been proven to be kind of. You know, we're also like heading into, we're also technically in a recession in the United States, right? But of course, all the people are like, oh, no, we're not in a recession because people still have jobs and things like that. But one of the things that's usually pretty resistant, recession or not, is video games, right? Because when times are bad, people are always going to look for some sort of entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
The only difference, though, is now there's way more competition for people's entertainment eyeballs than ever before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're never going to go away. We're going to have like a pretty safe baseline, no matter what the crisis is. But there is like a trend that I am seeing that I think will grow. I was looking at this article. Let me pop this open. That were analyzing PlayStation users. And it was kind of championing how many PlayStation 5 they sold, like 21 million. But they've noticed a significant lesser playing time in the last year, right? So that seems to be the trend for everything lately. People are just less inside.
People are done, yeah. Other things. Like, I mean, if you compare any number, to 2021 numbers,
yeah,
or 2020 numbers,
yeah, it's unfair.
There's going to be decline, right? Because people are going back to like regular activities, right? Really, the number you should be worried about is below 2019 numbers, right? And the answer to that is like, no, it's not, right? It's still above 2019 numbers.
Because but, Tom Cruise, you know why? Tom Cruise saved us all. Right? Top Gun, $1 billion.
Yeah.
Put everyone back in their seats. I mean, the movie industry is a good one to kind of look at to see the bounce back.
Yeah.
That's where everyone's doing now, right?
You know, like, and some people playing games, you know. I will also say, I don't know if the last couple of years were good. There were some good games that came out, but I don't think there was a lot of great games coming out over the last couple of years.
I finally started playing the Miles Morales Spider-Man last week, catching up on it.
But I'm this uncertain time right now, I think is impacting more growth companies that are kind of all speculative and not really profitable. But like we're going to grow. We're going to show you how dope we're going to be in 5 years time. Right. Like now the market has no patience for that anymore. So companies are, everybody's like, oh man, how can I show positive gains. Right. And so that's where you're seeing cut back in workforce. Saying everybody's gonna have to pull their weight and we have to operate at higher intensity and things like that, right? It's to get more revenue and to cut the losses, right? Mm-hmm. That's what people are really concerned with right now. And video game companies, for the most part, have been pretty profitable over the last.
They've been profitable, I think. But they don't react to. I mean, it's the famous developer thing to say. They don't remember what you've done. It's just the last thing you did, right? So like sure. These companies are quarterly, right? And if there's a signs of trouble, they're trying to think ahead and they're reactive, right? They mm-hmm. start laying people off. So like a combination of what's going on, it's like there's less people playing because they're going outside. It's expected. There's these major companies, these tech companies are definitely fastening their belt, like you said. They're not taking as much risk. And things that were dominating during the pandemic, everyone's kind of taking a step back overall. You know, crypto, NFT, all this stuff that was hot. Definitely not right now. No one's like, fuck that shit.
People are trying to save their money right now.
Yeah, people are trying to save their money. And on top of that, there's a lot of nomads right now with game developers. Like we were just saying, people who's been at companies for 20 years, 10 years are looking at this time for something new. Maybe because how remote work at home kind of prioritize some things for them, right? There is a lot of change that is happening. Yeah. People switching around. People are just saying, no, I won't go in the office. No, I'm done with this. I'm taking another. A lot of people are changing jobs. Yeah. And on top of that, we're starting to see some layoffs, right? So what do you make about this stew that's happening right now? What do you think that's going to come out of all this and at the end of the year and beyond? Like something's happening.
I think
not exactly think for better or for worse.
Well, I think it'll end up being for better. I think like at the end of this year, maybe at the end of next, what's going to happen is the strong will survive. You know, the companies that are strong, have solid business and solid revenue will still be around, and those that do not will not. Boom. You know, and like this, it's just that simple, right? And then also, and I think a lot of people, you know, after. A lot of people died, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to being morbid again, but a lot of people died, man. Yeah. And a lot of people worked at home. A lot of people spent more time with families. A lot of people traveled more. And then they're like, you know what? Maybe I should prioritize this stuff more than work, you know? A lot of people saved a lot of money too, right? Because they weren't going out, weren't doing stuff, weren't traveling. So they're like, oh, I got a little bit of money saved up too. Right. So maybe now's the right time to make some sort of job change, you know, maybe or just complete lifestyle change. Right. It's probably a mixture of all those things, like in a big ass pot, just causing all sorts of different changes. And I think it has changed work probably forever. Like I think how people view work and hybrid, remote, and all those things. I think that's going to change the way we work for a while at least. And I think a lot of people are prioritizing other things outside of work more than work, and so their people's focus have shifted. Yeah. At least I can speak for myself and say that's definitely happened for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking, and we mentioned this a few roundtables before, right? Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of empowerment to employees right now, a lot of choices that mm-hmm. developers have in terms of leverage, right?
Yep.
Straight up people every other day going on strike, just stepping out of the office in the parking lot, or straight up trying to set up a union, which, you know, a couple years ago we thought was a far-fetched idea, wasn't going to happen, but it's happening right now at the biggest publisher ever, at Activision Blizzard. Yeah. And it's being accepted, and it's going, and it's pushing. And
I would say it's being accepted, because Activision Blizzard definitely ain't accepting
it. They're still denying it.
Right, but yeah, it's happening.
It's happening. So there's a lot of shifts that are happening, and the other side of this is, like, when I talk to, you know, small business owners, indie developers, people on the other side, they're also kind of cautious, because there's a lot of talks right now, and we talked about this a few times ago, where people in office, it's usually the rarity now, right? And when it comes to rarity, it becomes value, right? So people who are willing to come in the office, look visible, be side by side, is always going to have an advantage, right? Eventually, because, you know, the people who run the place.
Oh, like, honestly, like, I go to my office, it's a ghost town. Like, not even, like, seriously, not even the bosses are there, right? Yeah. So, like, yeah, you wear brown nose and be in the office, go ahead. Ain't nobody going to see you because nobody's there, right? Like, yeah. Like, there's nobody in the office, right? So,
yeah, I think with exception to the ones that fully embrace remote.
Yeah.
That are, you know, because you guys were pretty much remote before remote was cool, right? Like, yeah. There's a lot of intercontinental conferences and meetings. You guys were pretty much have to do that. But, like, I think the companies that are more traditional, and I think overall most game companies are still very traditional, still prefer in office. I mean, that's why I feel a majority still compromise with hybrid, right? In those situations, though, right, outside of the exception to the rule, like you guys, I think most middle managers still prefer people coming in. And there was a large conversation saying that, I don't know if it's true, but it's something worth thinking about. It's like, hey, America's kind of getting lazy. Because nobody, if anything, people want to work less, right? They want to focus on family more. In a time where every other country is kind of stepping up in terms of competition, right? We were just talking about how, you know, Blizzard and all these companies are facing more competition than ever, yeah. Right? my kid, kind of off topic, but kind of in the same vein here, was playing this game on his phone with his friends. And I was looking at it, and I was like, what the hell is this? And he was like, oh, it's Stumble Guys. Right? I'm sure you heard of this. Stumble Guys? It's a complete one-to-one ripoff. Let me pull up something here. Let me pull it up on the screen. It was the funniest shit I've seen.
A Fall Guys? It looks like, yeah, it's Fall Guys.
Bro, oh, wow. It's called Stumble Guys. And it's for the mobile, right? And
it's on Steam too, though.
Yeah, but, like, how is this able to exist in 2022, right?
Lisa, what do you mean?
To be able to blatantly copy a game and barely change name, that's how safe they felt. Let me pull this up. You know what I mean?
People, But people have been doing this forever, though. Like, people even ripping off games.
Even Fortnite kept their name Fortnite and then you can't call it PUBG better. You know what I mean? At least try to kind of look like.
I mean, I look at this game, it looks very polished. Yeah.
Look exactly like Fall Guys.
If honestly, if I didn't know any better, I would think they straight up took the assets even. But
Well, it's a very easy game to copy, you know. And I mean, the guy doesn't even. It looks exactly like it. The customization. I mean, they're very smart. I mean, they're obviously it's getting away. Here's the bullshit, right?
Super smart.
I looked into this, and this game is at 160 million downloads, right? Guess what Fall Guys is at still? 50 million downloads. So this game tripled its users.
Is Fall Guys on mobile?
No, that's why this game is killing it, because they took advantage of that market. Yeah. But this is so insane. Like, do we have no copyright law ever?
Not for games. Not for game ideas. No, they're not. You can't copyright game idea. Right? There's no mechanics here that are novel. Right? It's just, You're just like, what is going on?
What's the point? What's the point of getting into a room to brainstorm anything, dude? It's just like, hey, let's spend a week looking at the top games and just straight up copy it on mobile.
I think they
because it's okay.
They seize an opportunity, right? Like if they like it's on Steam, but I'm sure majority of the users are on mobile, and that's the opportunity they saw. They're like, Fall Guys is not on mobile. Like we can do it. Let's go, right? And they were able to get it up and running and onto mobile quickly, right? And so they're benefiting from that.
Oh yeah, they're benefiting greatly from that. I would love to kind of get one of their team on here and talk to me when they started and when they finished. to plan my future retirement.
And they're in Finland.
Oh, there you go. Well, anyways, I was looking at this, right? And I was like, so thrown off with how they were doing things. Because this is the world we're living, right? There's a lot of mobile it's the oldest story in time, right? App store, anything mobile device, it's known for copying blatantly and getting away with it. And in most cases, success, to massive success. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say with this thing. I just thought it was hilarious that this was happening in the midst of all this other stuff that becomes like the headlines for our industry, right? I mean, this is, as a developer, you have to be offended and scared. Like, if we aren't able to kind of go in there and come up with an original idea and it isn't protected, like, what's the point, you know? At a certain level here.
What is you're in the entertainment business, right? At the end of the day.
But books and movies don't let this slip. Like, if they uttered, like...
What?
What was the last time?
What? Okay. Let's put it this way. Movies are not so blatant with their copying. You're correct. But there are certain tropes and certain themes that they just... They
recycle.
Right?
Sure.
Recycle. And then there's sequels, which are... course copies of themselves or whatever, right? If you want to look at it that way. But like, no, but we're in entertainment business where it's literally what the top 2% are making all of the money. The top 2% are making all the dough, right? And it happens in games, it happens in movies, right? And so those slim margins there, like the people that are really at the top of the game can reach the most people are reaping, right? And so, like, yeah, with games get copied all the time, you know? And people...
God, the UI is exactly the same, too.
And people get mad. People get mad about it all the time, every time it happens, right? But it keeps happening. And then there's, like, straight-up asset flips and all that kind of stuff that's been going on for years, right? So, like, none of this is, like, surprising that somebody's like, I'm going to make a game called Stumble Guys and put it on the mobile store. Like, this is the first I'm hearing of it, quite frankly, but like, it's not, I'm not surprised by it at all.
Hey, I'm always keeping up with the trend, right? So this is happening right underneath our noses, right? It's just so funny. In a way, I feel bad for the actual developers, right? Because they are a small team. But then they got bought by Epic, right? So they are owned by Epic. And they got Fortnited, essentially. You know? I mean, overall, I guess both sides are making money and they're fine, but...
Yeah. Man, you know what's crazy, too? It's like... I'm reading some stuff and people are like, Stumble Guys is better than Fall Guys. There's people claiming
that. There are a lot of...
Yeah...
little courses. I mean, they're making things a lot faster, it seems like. There's so much more scenarios. And that's not fair, though, man. That's just not fair. I mean, how if you can just copy something really quickly, of course you're going to have time to iterate faster. I mean, people who's doing the original stuff takes a little longer always. Come on.
Takes a while to iterate that, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
What? Oh. What are you seeing?
Okay, yeah. The Stumble Guys, you can only have 32 players, but Fall Guys has 60 players.
Bro, I just saw my kid huddled up with 8 of his friends, and I was like, they're winning. You know, once the kids are playing it basically for 4 hours straight, they won. I mean, that's just really it. And you know what my kid said? I was like, Stumble Guys, they completely copy. He's like, yeah, they completely copy Fall Guys. It's really fun. It's like, that was it. That was the end of that conversation. They can care any less. That's the epitome of users, man. They don't care. No one's fighting.
You have to give them the entertainment that they're looking for, you know, and get the eyeballs. That's it. Yeah. You know, Fall Guys, I think Fall Guys is, they really missed the opportunity.
They should have done it in mobile, like, immediately. I don't know why they still holding back on that. Don't understand what the reason is. Yep. Isn't it just a button for you guys in Unity? Like, the graphics is not that crazy.
Yes, Brandon. All you got to do is hit a different button and a game that has a different performance envelope.
Yeah.
Different CPU, different GPU, different CPU.
Have you seen Fall Guys?
it'll just run.
Have you seen Fall Guys? Device. Everything's a box. In the cylinder, right? It's
the simplest looking game in the world. Fall Guys supports 60 players playing simultaneously in an environment.
Just half it. It's rated just figured out.
Like the net code is probably.
Hey, Finland, figure it out. I'm sure these guys could. Yeah. I mean, the main thing here
is... It takes effort.
Sure, but I'm just saying it's been out for, what, a year? A year and a half?
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, they could have spent, you know, a niche group kind of partitioned to the sidelines. Yeah. Make me a mobile version of this. I mean, they could have done that. I mean, obviously, this team did it.
I mean...
And they didn't have the assets to start with, all right?
Yeah, well, it's also... the company is a mobile game company, so they have the expertise of making mobile games as well.
Of copying games, yeah.
And so
they're really good.
And so then they just copied a game, got it out there, and are reaping the success. It's rough. It's rough out here.
Should move to Finland. just wait for a top 10 game in the iOS store and just like, oh, I'll just copy that.
Oh man, you're crazy.
Well, I mean, let me kind of move on to this story right here. I mean, overall, my thoughts is that the industry is in a weird spot. A lot of people, I think the best way to summarize it is uncertainty, right? There's a lot of uncertainty that's going around the air in terms of people trying new things and not staying at their company. People definitely love remote. People definitely forcing remote, and I'm still on the fence with that, or honestly probably over the fence. I think most people are not good at remote, man. Let's just say it.
Like, Brandon, you are
I'm stating, a fully remote.
You're stating an opinion about something that you've been railing against for like the last 4 months. acting as if it's a big surprise that you are not for remote working.
I'm just reiterating
while you basically,
because what happens, man, my rants are all coming fucking true, dude. Zuckerberg himself is all like, hey, this ain't working out, you know.
Yeah.
The happiest, the rich, one of the richest men in the world is like, hey, I don't want you to take extra days off anymore.
I think they have other problems more than all of the remote workers that they have. I think they have other problems. But yeah.
Yeah. Overall, they're crashing and burning pretty fast. I think it's becoming like a lottery ticket for them to actually pull one out here and make it trendy again. They're losing touch so fast. Like they pretty much abandoned Facebook, right? It's just a thing now, right? They're not really in these quarterly things. They're not talking about how to improve Facebook, right? They're not talking. They're like, it's done. It's dying, right? We need to move on to the next thing. And then Instagram, they're like slowly killing that.
They're slowly killing it by trying to turn it into TikTok and people.
Exactly. One of the not Kardashian, the Jenner, she's like the top three most followed on Instagram, complaining how it's too much like TikTok, how she wants it to be a photo, and she said something about Snapchat and they lost $1 billion over a post that she did. Saying that Snapchat was crap or something.
No, I'll say this right. Yeah, like Instagram did something to the feed where the feed has just gone.
It's all freaking videos now.
Just complete garbage, right? The focus on video. They're 100% right, though.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to video, getting more engagement, getting more eyeballs, people watching more, all of those things are 100% true, right? Like I see that, you know, all the top influencers that make all the dough, all the money, right? They either are a video editor or they have a video editor on as part of their team to edit their videos, right? Video is a more engaging medium on these social media apps, right? I think TikTok has proven that to be correct. But then Instagram is just like, all right, cool. Video is where it's at. I'm just going to show you random videos for random people. Right. And you're like, yo, where's all the people I follow? Where are my friends? Like, you can't even see their stuff without like hunting them down specifically. That's when it's broken. You know what I mean? So they have to find that balance between that. Right.
Yeah. Well, if you let a bunch of nerds tell you what's cool, I mean, that's what's going to happen, dude. That's essentially what's happening. They're programming what's supposed to be cool, they're forcing it. You know, there's a lot of people, and I enjoy it too. Like, I don't want it to constantly feed me moving images. Sometimes I just want to look at a picture and just like read the, you know, caption and be done with it. Right?
Sometimes you do, but
most of the time it's freaking videos and numbers, it's from people I don't know.
And numbers don't lie. The numbers do not lie. Like, they have the numbers and the numbers do not lie. People interact more with videos. Just like how when you do like speech or presentation classes or whatever, and they teach you move your hands, right?
Hey, I get it.
Yeah, when you move your hands and you do, and when you're talking, it becomes more engaging, and then people don't tune out what you're saying.
Hey, like, bro,
use your hands to emphasize.
You're talking to someone who went viral on Instagram a couple months ago, right?
With what? With the weightlifting videos?
With the push up? I did a push up challenge, right?
Oh, okay, I just see that one.
1.4 million views. All right, not even. I went viral. All right, particularly in Russia. I don't know what that's about. I get it. Okay, I was there. I'm one of the pioneers in Instagram, right? But like, it's one of those things that I see how Facebook kind of killed itself with suggesting all these advertisements, all these different feeds that I didn't care about. Essentially, I just want to see my friends and who I follow on my feed predominantly, right? But right now I'm being fed a lot of suggestions, And I'm being slowly turned off from it. I get the videos there. It's the future. But there's a transitional period that you have to allow people to adjust. Otherwise, it's going to be too forceful and it turns people away. It's like, hey, you're trying to turn into TikTok. Why don't I just go to TikTok? You know, it's complete. It's a completed algorithm. It's done. It works, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an app download away. And the way they're doing it, it's just, sorry, man. It just feels like a bunch of old people doing it. It's like, you know what I mean?
No, it definitely is broken. Like, it's definitely broken. There's no doubt that it's broken. But I think the overall strategy of like, I think focusing more on video, yes. Feeding you more random stuff, no. Right. That's my stance on it.
Right? Yeah. And I feel like, I know we keep talking about tech. What does it have to do with games? I feel like a lot of these games are these AAA games are kind of doing the same thing, right? You know, where they're kind of forcing, like in copying what's popular. I mean, look at Battle Royale, right? Battle Royale polluted with Battle Royale. Now we're sick of Battle Royale, right? Somehow Fortnite and the ones that are good and enjoyable.
You can't make another Battle Royale right now.
If you come into a pitch room and pitch another Battle Royale, people are going to like shoot you right there.
There's one coming out very soon that I'm actually excited about. But yeah, you like right now you can't remake another Battle Royale. Rumbleverse is coming out. It's a wrestling themed Battle Royale. It's amazing.
I need to look at this.
It looks amazing. But anyway,
I like wrestling. Yeah, let me look at this Rumbleverse.
I played some of the early betas and stuff.
Is this the Microsoft game?
I don't know. It's not from Microsoft.
From Epic Games Publishing.
No, it's Epic is publishing, but it's from whatchamacallit, Iron Galaxy.
Oh yeah. Oh okay.
Come on, I think it's coming out next week or something. But like, I'm like another Battle Royale. But I'm like, oh, but it's wrestling themed. Yeah, okay. I'll play
that. Dude, wrestling games were like my jam growing up. That's what we do all the time, hanging out in LAN parties.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong. Like, this can epically flop, right? You know what I mean? But it's surprisingly enjoyable, and it's not like
super violent. Wrestling hand-to-hand combat in general has been trending.
Yeah,
I've noticed. Maybe because of all the shooting games we've had the last 2 years.
Yeah, people get tired of shooting.
Kind of,
and just like the customization. Oh yeah, there's a bit of Power Stone vibe in it. Like it's really good. But you're saying but I think the game industry's been like that though, right? It's been about what's hot, and then there's a whole bunch of copies. Remember when every game was a GTA clone? Right, GTA was hot. Everybody tried to clone GTA.
And then that's how Ubisoft was created, right?
Something else was hot, and then that's open world games became like, oh, every game had to be open world and online, and like the industry does that all the time, but it's like it's cycles, right? And it's just like, what's the next thing that hit it big, right? And then there's the indie community that are always doing interesting and different things, right? So. But I think you said it before, you're talking about risk, right? It's because people don't want to be risky. They're like, oh, Battle Royale's work. All right, let's make a Battle Royale. People seem to like that. But we've seen a lot of people take that approach and fail, you know? So it's not even a guaranteed thing. You have to find, like, what makes a good Battle Royale game a good Battle Royale game? I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out exactly what that is, and they're experimenting with that formula. But for the most part, like, we don't know what's going to hit for the most part. Taking huge risks every game you make, you know what I mean?
Well, what I'm interested in is that, like, everybody and their grandma in the past year created a game studio, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we see every week still, right? There's like, hey, this guy once walked into a Naughty Dog office, is now creating a new studio, right? he passed the cross streets of Sony, Santa Monica, and now he's creating a studio with his friend that he just met, right? So I'm interested what that group of studios, right, is gonna be coming up with, because
it's,
you know, indie studios, they're not exactly indie, right? They're like full on double A, I would say, right? They have a lot of backing and investment. There's a lot of heavy hitters with six figure salaries joining, right? Full on benefits. There's front and center. Hey, we're fully remote. We care about you, right? Yeah. Messaging on their website usually.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. It's like
we're super diverse. Right? I always have to throw that in there.
No, well, that's not even true. That's not even true. Don't get me started. But no, but that's 100% not true. But anyway, diverse. They got 49% women. But anyway, I'm seeing like a lot of these companies that you're talking about. It's all those things, right? Because it's people are burnt out.
Yeah,
people are burnt out, man. Burnt out of like the typical video game thing. That's why people went to tech jobs, and that's why some just go and start their own thing, because they're just burnt out of AAA and they want to do something different. I want to try to be different than what has been made before. And how the companies even operate, right? So yeah. I think what we're going to see is like, we're going to see more of that. I think it's good. I think we're going to see interesting games, even if they're not critical successes or make tons of money. I think you're going to see interesting games. At the end of the day, it is an art form, right? And so some people really care about the art form, just want to make art, right? Of course, we all got to eat. You know, we have to take care of our families, but a lot of times people just want to make something good, and then they think if they make something good, then the money will happen.
You know? All right, here's a, you feel that, man? I feel another prophecy coming. I think most of these games that these companies are going to come out with are going to be shit, right? It's gonna prevent the actual good companies from getting finance. Right, dude, 9 out of 10 gonna flop. 9 out of 10 are crap. 9 out of 10 won't know what they're doing.
But I mean, you just—that's the entire video game industry. Like, seriously, like
I know that's more of the same.
Any game you're going to try to make, chances are it's going to flop. Chances are it's not going to be as successful as you think. And then sometimes you think it's not going to be successful, and then it becomes a mega hit. Right? Like,
well, this is what I'm saying. It's like, hey, guys, you know. So I'm basically, if I have 10 friends, I can turn to 9 or 10 of them, and they come up with this idea. It's like, hey, man, I want to leave. I'm going to start this company. I will stop them right there. I was like, hey, stop right there. Right. You've been at Activision Blizzard for 20 years. Right. You don't know nothing else. Don't do it. Don't ruin it for that 1 out of 10 guy. Just stay where you're at. Right. If you haven't done it and you're like super old and you've been around there forever, right? Just ride it out, bro. It's done for you, dude.
Dude, that's why I do what I do. Seriously, that's why I do what I do. It's because I believe in more people making video games, more people trying, more people attempting.
I guess people. I don't know, man.
I believe in that.
If there's no risk, then you really don't have anything important to say, right? It's a very weird, starving artist kind of mentality. You know what I mean? Because these companies are basically, you know, people who are jumping ships. It's like getting their same salaries, benefits. There's no risk, right? It's why they're jumping ship. No, dude, these companies are getting multi-million dollar
deals. People are definitely doing it and getting funding, of course, right? Because you can't make, like, you can't make any video game these days.
Well, you know how this works, right? You
bring 15, 20 million.
You bring a group of these AAA guys that's been in AAA forever, and then you bring over all the AAA bad habits over, where it's like, hey, it's done when it's done. We'll just postpone it until we get it right.
Which AAA company is that?
Every AAA company, bro.
No, dude. There's a few that are like that.
No, but
there's a few.
They don't get. No. I mean,
Naughty Dog's like that.
Let me clarify. They don't get it, right? They don't get the permission slip to do it when it's done, right? But in the developer mindset, the producer, that does a shitty job of planning things out, right? They do that and it never delivers and it postpones and gets canceled.
I worked on so many games that we needed to postpone it and we did it. I worked on so many games where it's like,
but what I'm saying is that there's no none of these AAA companies are very good at being efficient, right? Except for Blizzard or Activision, Call of Duty, right? Most postpone, bro. Most postpone or cancel, right? And dude, of course. How many games have been delayed during the pandemic?
Okay, hold on. Games get delayed all the time. Yes.
Yes.
Games I've worked on have been delayed. Games I've worked on have also been delayed. And then
that's the triple A
have been delayed more.
Yeah, that's the triple A DNA, right? It's just when you get too big of an ambitious project with people who are basically mostly managers, right? Because most people who are leadership position, they're not rolling up their sleeves and doing the work. But you're expecting these people to go to a double A company, roll up their sleeves. But no, they're not rolling up their sleeves. It's not a traditional indie company, right? Not everyone serves like 10 different job titles. They're doing the same shit. They're hiring people underneath them to do the work for them. That's how these companies that you're seeing and I am seeing, that's how they're working, right? So they're functioning as if they are AAA, but not without the AAA funding. A lot of money still. And they're bringing these leaders, right, that brushed shoulders with people who actually did the Naughty Dog games and now have their shot of their own. They're doing it now, and it's going to be completely disastrous, in my opinion.
Now, let's say this. In some cases, you're 100% correct. I think 99%. In some cases, no. Like if I see, there's a new studio from people that worked at Blizzard, I'm talking like you, right? Yeah. Because Blizzard is notorious for it. It's done when it's done, right? But when you're indie, you don't have the luxury of just time. iterating forever, right? Because you have a limited pool of money, right? So I think in those cases, yes. But like a team from Ubisoft or some other company like that, no, I don't think that, because those games come out like killers. They come out, but those games come out on time, right? And it is what it is, right? Like, you know what I mean? And some of those games are bad, like, you know what I mean, right? And some of them are good, and some of them are buggy as hell and like should not have been released, but they're released anyway because of fiscal year and all this kind of stuff, right? I actually like when it's not tied to fiscal year, when it's not something that needs to come out because we need to meet certain earnings gains, or when they can tolerate making something slip, like because they have some other game that's making billions of dollars or whatever, that's when you get more time to get it right. I also think a lot of game designers, that's how they work. Even they don't even know what game they want to make until they see it in front of them and they iterate on it and iterate with somebody, and then they find the fun through this iteration process, right? That's something that is unbounded, right? You know what I mean? It's hard. I know you hate that.
If any artist comes to you and say, "Hey, I'll know it when I get it," you run in the other direction.
But a lot of games get made like this. A lot of games get made like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, they get made like this because they have the AAA backing of some time to kind of pre-plan, like before. There was a certain point in my career where I thought pre-production was the beginning of a production of a game. But now there's such a thing as pre-pre-production. There's like a period for pre-pre-planning before a vertical slice. And it just, there's this huge extension of actual production of the game that is given now, which I feel is the wrong direction for something, a piece of entertainment that needs to be done in a certain amount of time, not just for money's sake, but you know, once in a million years you have a game that doesn't matter if it's in the trend or not, you know what I mean? But most games do have like a certain amount of time where we'll hit and be the most impactful, right? We can agree on that, right? Just because of how the world is and how everyone's feeling, there is like a certain beautiful moment that you can't time. Some people call it luck, but you know, a lot of it is planning too. And I think this pre-planning thing that AAA and these developers think now, right? Dude, I'm sure you have friends, right? Most of these guys come into a room with just a resume in front of our investors. That's all they have. It's like, we don't have an idea yet, but no, sit with me, man.
I've no friends. I have no friends, by the way.
But you heard these stories.
I do hear the stories, and I actually hear it also from investors' mouths directly that the number one, and I think this is true, like in tech, in games, wherever, a lot of investors say, you know, it's getting kind of cliche at this point because they all say the same thing. They invest in the people. They don't invest in the ideas.
Sure.
Really. Yeah. Right. Because at the end of the day, like, a lot of people come up with really great ideas, but you have to be able to actually execute on them. Right. And so coming with a team of people that have executed before, it's like, oh yeah, cool. And if you come with a team of executed before and they did it together, oh, that's even better because you guys know how to work together. Right.
And this is where the veil is lifted, right? These teams that have done it before have not done it before, right? We're talking about these AAA guys that are good at pointing at people to do things, right? But not actually doing it themselves. So this is the false premise that a lot of these investors are putting their money into.
Once upon a time, those people were doing it themselves. Once upon a time.
I'm sorry, dude. There's a certain moment.
Brent, what's the last time you extruded a face or like, what was the last time you modeled something? Like, let's talk about you right now.
5 years. It's been a long time.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like,
you. Yeah, that is. Listen, if anything, I have a pedestal that I'm speaking from experience, right? If I come into a room with 5 more people like me, I'm the first one walking out. I'm like, I know what this means. There's a lot of outdated people in this room right now. I'm coming in with a group of people that are like the grunt workers, right? That I know that can help me bring this together. But that's not the case. These are people bringing in managers for decades to kind of start the team. And logically, it might make sense on paper, right? It's like, oh, you know, they're good at leading. They've done this before. Therefore, they can do it again. Wrong. It doesn't work that way, dude. Because you know what it means? You know what happens? It's like, they might come up with an idea. And then at a certain point in the production, let's say 4 months down the line, it's like, all right, well, we're blocked. So why are we blocked? We got to hire all these people that can actually do these things. So I mean, they go on to this long journey. Yeah. Of trying to hire these people.
No, that's part of the pitch. Like you're pitching yourself. You may not have an idea, but at least you have a plan for like how you're going to staff it. Right. But and how much money you need. You have to ask for how much money you need. Right.
Sure.
But, what was I saying? I think you're not guaranteed success. And investors know the success is not guaranteed. That's why they're investors, right?
But how do I compare this? What it feels like? This is what it feels like.
But it mitigates the risk.
You signed up to a marathon, but you have no runners, right? You're just signed up to a marathon. You have no runners on your team. And you just show up. And they're like, hey, let's just find runners here. And then you might make it in time, but most don't, right? It's just too late for preparation. Yeah. And I'm just saying that this is a bad trend that we're pushing for the next 2-3 years. A lot of these studios will fail because a lot of AAA people are shit. I mean, that's what we know. It's like a lot of AAA people are shit, dude.
So what you're saying, man? You and I, we're not going to create a video game company. Is that what you're saying?
No, I've been indie for a while. So I have indie blood in me. It's different. I didn't just walk off, you know, 2K's lot. It's different. I've been accepted by this new group of people. But what I'm saying is like, it's... it's unfortunate. I think it's going to be a bad mark where, because of what's going to happen, that these games going to show up, I think, mostly empty-handed, half-baked prototypes, right? Because like you said, the reason, and this is where I think is the reason why inherently there's going to be bad products, because the primary reason a lot of these developers are leaving is because of balance of life, is because of they're sick of their day job, right? But they're not driven by what I consider what most indie developers are on, why they're succeeding. They have an idea that they have to get out there, right? Yeah. So to me, a lot of these companies are doing it maybe secondary or even tertiary, you know, reasons of why they are forming a company. And I don't think that's a good start for anything. They're just digging for ideas now.
No, I hear what you're saying, right? But I don't think, like, honestly, I think if anybody in the video game industry wanted better standard of life and more money and all this kind of stuff, like, the last thing that they should do is start their own company. Right?
But that's what they're doing. That's what I'm saying.
The people that really want those things leave.
Yeah.
And the people that stay and say, hey, I want to create a video game company, first and foremost, they love video games still. And they still want to make video games. That's why they start a company, right? And they want to do it different, maybe, and there might be other aspects of it, right? But the foremost reason is they want to make a video game. Otherwise, they will just go do something else that will make them more money with less stress, right? Less foolishness, right? They can just do
something. You're giving way too much credit. I mean, there's definitely a sector of people who are multidisciplinary that can move and migrate to different industries using the same skill set, like you yourself and a lot of our friends, of course. But I think most AAA guys who's been stuck making games, and especially these companies have been working with proprietary engine, right? Very unique processes that are, I would say, outdated, right? Most of these get, dude,
that's nice.
Come on.
That's a nice way of saying it.
That's a nice way of saying it, right? Yeah. Outdated processes, seriously, like 15 years out of the loop, right? Haven't touched Unreal 3, right? 4, 5, Unity, you know, 2022. They haven't touched and played with any of those technologies. Imagine someone walking from the Blizzard WoW team, all right? Imagine any of those IPs, right? Any of those IPs, even pick the newest one, maybe Overwatch, right? Those technologies are at least 5 years old, right? We're talking about pre-Substance, which is a texturing program that completely changed the game. Changed the game in texturing, right? Right? Blender, right? ZBrush, the latest ZBrush. Mm-hmm. None of these fools are playing with those tools. Right? They don't know ZBrush anything.
All day.
No, but like none of these guys are playing with the hottest and greatest because they didn't have to. And now they, because of their resume, they are able to leave. And they're playing with tools that takes you 10 times or even 100 times longer because that's what they know, right? They're not out here exploring new techniques. So therefore, whatever crap that they're sitting in a room and trying to figure out, because again, the game idea is secondary to why they left, right? They just didn't want to work at Blizzard anymore. So they created this. They're sitting in a room. They have old techniques that's going to take them 10 times longer to actually make the game they want to make once they figure it out, of course, right? They're already funded day one, right? Day 30, day 90. They're 2 years in, still thinking about what games do we want to make, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's the majority of these makeups of these companies. They're a bunch of old dudes hanging around, maybe some women. Maybe some more diverse people. You have high doubts. But there's a bunch of dudes hanging about wasting money that could have been, you know, better used for us somewhere else. To actual indie companies, to actual people who had a game or had something to say. And I think, now it's like mostly a free grab. It feels like anybody with a resume can go out there and get an investment. It's the best of times. But like we saw with the pandemic, there will be a crash, and I think it's going to crash pretty hard. And it's going to prevent, there's going to be a cold number of years where, you know, a group of talent developers can't get money anymore. Yeah. Well, I mean, of course.
Well, I think we're heading into that right now, right? Because like that's what all of this that's happening right now.
Everyone's holding their money back.
Everyone's holding back money. They're not making as many bets. They might still be investing, but not like as they were before. So it's going to become harder to get funding. Like I think that's happening as we speak, right? Whether the companies that started are going to be like, I mean, it's easy. Like I said this before to a different friend, it's really easy. Like any new studio, any new game idea or whatever, for any reason, if they're making the studio, it's very easy to say, oh yeah, you're going to fail, because 90% of the time you're probably going to be right. Yeah. Regardless of the reason.
The reason,
right? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I prefer to be like, everybody wants a chance of doing something cool. And whatever reason it is, they're like, I don't want to work 7 days a week anymore. I think that's a valid reason. Oh, I want to spend more time with family. Valid reason. I don't want to crunch. Valid. Like all these are valid reasons, right? And if you have the ability and the team to go and go try your luck, raise some money and make something, go ahead, try.
All right. I guess I just have a different perspective. I just have this image of gluttonous kings at these AAA companies who don't feel like they want to be there anymore. And they decide to take all the food, all the reserves that could have been for actually starving, talented developers. Just because, you know, they can.
And I mean, your issue
what's left.
More with the investors, more so than
people. But like I said, investors are idiots.
Choose the money.
Hey, man, I'm saying, man, both sides of the table are idiots, right? But that's where the money's at. And they're just giving and flushing it. And it sucks because, like you said, you
can tell when Brandon does not need any money from any investors when he's talking like this.
My shit comes true every time we talk, right? I'm projecting what's going to happen. And if you're talented, you have a good game idea, let that be the reason why, right? And I'm hearing too many stories that people are getting together and they don't even have a prototype. Yeah. And it's doomed for failure. It's like, what chance do you have, dude? You don't even have a reason why you're together, right?
Well, I don't want to go to work. I know people that have a game idea. They have a game idea. They have a pitch. They haven't made it yet. And they have the key people in place. And now the only thing they need, and their vision is too big to do it themselves, right? Because that's usually always the case. And so now they need the money in order to go hire people and do the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that happens all the time.
Well, we've been talking for over an hour. A lot of ranting, you know. We take our best stabs at it, right?
Yeah.
And... like I always end this, you're always the more optimistic, right? Yeah. Person out of us, and I always hope that that's the case, right?
Sure.
And yeah, I would love for every game developer who has an idea to make whatever they want, but living in reality, it's like, maybe you should not do that game. Maybe it isn't that good.
You can't. Here's the thing. Yeah. There's always going to be abuses in the system. There's always going to be people that are in it for the wrong reasons, whatever, whatever. At the end of the day, if it allows for more games to be created, more ideas to get out there, more people to express their opinions, I think that's good.
Yeah, man. Trash is valuable too. So, okay. I mean, let's end it on that note. I hope next time we talk, Meta's doing better, right? Because we have a lot of friends there. Activision's doing better. Even though there's a lot of people leaving, like you said, there's a lot of people that are finally going there and hitting their bucket list, right? With an asterisk. It's like, I work at Blizzard now. It's like, do you though? I've been trying for 5 years. It's like, it's not the same right now. It doesn't count. It was a lot harder back then. All right. Yeah. So if everyone is eating, staying healthy, that's really what we all care about, right? But you know, everyone is fastening their belts, so enjoy where you're at while you can, because it's most likely and looking like things are changing a bit in the next couple of months. So
yep, yep. It's definitely true.
All right. Well, as always, where can we find you if they want to exchange ideas with you on Twitter, Ray?
Yeah, it's on Twitter, WADARASS. WADARASS.
Hey, man, he really wants you guys to come at him. So tweet at him, you know, timestamp this episode saying at this time you said this. I think that's atrocious, you know, whatever you want. What do you mean it's not diverse enough? You know, he's half Mexican, you know, any of this stuff.
Block, mute, all that will be going on.
What do you mean he's not diverse enough? He wears glasses. What? What are you talking about?
He's from Czechoslovakia. Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm not understanding what I'm saying. All right. We want all that. All right. And then tag me because I'll lol at it all day. As always, thanks for joining. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.